It's the Podzilla 1985 Star Wars Christmas Spectacular, live from Yavin 69.
The best Star Wars are the Christmas specials.
It's the goddamn sex Yavin. I don't know if you guys knew that. So tonight, here on Podzilla After Dark, we are going to talk about The Last Jedi. This is our completely spoiler review and discussion. So if you have not seen the movie, this is not the show for you. Like, despite what you may have heard from whoever, whether it's the greatest movie of all time or the worst Star Wars ever, don't listen to the show until you've seen the movie. We all agree on that?
Yeah.
Or at least, unless you want spoilers. Like, if you want spoilers, then stick around. It'll be a lot of fun.
If you absolutely don't give a shit about spoilers, yeah, this should be a good time. And we got an all-star cast here for you. Probably the biggest cast we've had in a while of us. Like, we've had special guests.
I was gonna say, like, since last Tuesday.
Yeah, but that was Jason and, Sin. This is the cast here. And let me introduce the all-star cast for you tonight. My name is Shannon Young. I'm gonna be the host and moderator. Down at the end of the table is my cohort, Jesse Kimball.
Hey, hey.
Next to him on his left is the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
And to his left is Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hello.
To my left, Mandy Kennedy.
Oh, hey.
And to her left, the five-star man, Asa Gray.
Are you having that much difficulties with today?
I'm just laughing because in my head I'm remembering, say yokely dokely. Say it.
How is that not your catchphrase, yokely dokely?
I just don't want Hunter looking at me and really saying it whenever he sees me every time now.
I think that would be a great
catchphrase. I mean, now that's going to happen, yeah. So you might as well make it your catchphrase.
So if any of you CCW fans are listening to the show tonight and you see Dalton at the next show, just start yelling yokely dokely at him.
You know they're going to.
Caleb Tripp.
That's why he said it.
This is directed to Caleb Tripp. I need you to make a shirt or a sign of Dalton like Ned Flanders that says yokely dokely.
Like it's going to be in quotations yokely dokely.
Just yokely dokely.
Under Dalton Anthony.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think that was Calvin. They're bringing monies, hopefully. Hey, it's Calvin. Hey, Calvin. You did bring monies.
Yay!
It's the best Santa Claus.
Everybody getting something.
Capitalist Santa.
Oh, he is something Claus.
Of the year. Thank you. Capitalist something Claus.
We're about to do our spoiler review of Last Jedi. Have you seen Last Jedi yet?
No.
You have
get
not
out of
no?
here.
You probably will not want to say.
I want to know why I'm something Claus, though.
Because everybody's getting something.
What do I get?
Has he not shown you the SNL skit yet?
No, clearly, okay. Maybe you're on the nice list. So
I just said I'm private.
You
so
ain't
I'll
getting
see
some.
You guys later.
Backroom dealings.
Bye, Calvin. Okay, we'll wait a few moments to hear the door shut.
I can't believe Darth Maul came back.
I can't believe the Porg were the friends we made along the way.
Boy, we wish they were better.
See, I can't believe Crumb. Salacious B. Crumb was all right, Snoke.
All right, we're good. We're
back. That was that would be a damn good twist.
Right?
Snoke looks at him and goes, this isn't even my ultimate form. Rips the mask off and goes,
it'd be better than what they did with him.
But I don't know.
Which is nothing?
Yeah.
Snoke, all right, so spoiler. This is where the spoilers start. Turn away if you don't want to hear it. So Snoke's death, I really do feel like that was just it's a middle finger from Rian Johnson to J.J. Abrams saying, I don't want your shit. I'm going to make my own shit. And then when he finished the movie, they were like, okay, we're bringing J.J. Abrams back. So you can guarantee that in the next movie, Snoke will return.
No.
I think he will.
In flashbacks, maybe.
I think it's going to be a secret.
Gonna be back.
Yeah. In my head canon, it's, in the end, it's going to be Rey and, Kylo fighting Snoke and maybe the Knights of Ren.
Gross.
I don't know where you take it at this point, though.
There's the one place that you can take it now. Rey beats Kylo.
And he's irredeemable. He's irredeemable. That's the important thing. He doesn't have a change of heart at the very end. I forget who I was talking to earlier today. It may have been Tanner, but we were talking about Darth Vader. And, you know, people saying that Kylo might be Darth Vader 2.0 because he gets redemption. Mm-hmm. And Tanner made a good point that I honestly never thought about it this way. Darth Vader really didn't redeem himself. He only did what he did to save his son. He didn't save the rebellion. He didn't fight for the rebellion. He just saved his son and by proxy helped the rebellion. But Darth Vader was still loyal, maybe, to the Empire. He just didn't want Palpatine to kill his kid.
I feel like that's very unlikely to be true. Just because you can't really be loyal to the Empire and also kill the Emperor.
Well, the Empire is not the Emperor. If someone cuts the head off the snake, it does die.
I mean, plus if you, but secondarily, cause like you also have to factor in the prequels.
Yeah.
Cause like, Anakin had always been kind of like that tortured, never really truly embraced
by the
dark
Jedi.
Side. Yeah.
Yeah. Anakin and Kylo are very similar, mm-hmm. which I guess is why Kylo feels a kinship with Vader. You know, like, anyway, that's, we're talking about other things. So we're going to talk about The Last Jedi tonight. And I did not realize until I started reading through our, fan reaction, how divisive this movie really is. Like, I just assumed that everyone either loved it or tolerated it. I didn't realize it was all over the charts between love, meh, and hate.
Yeah, I even saw a few people on my Facebook post. I'm glad to see that I'm not the only one that wasn't a fan of this new Star Wars movie. Yeah.
And okay, so here's let's find out where we all stand just from the top. I'm gonna go off on a limit and say that Asa did not like the movie.
No,
which is accurate. Jesse really liked the movie.
Yes.
Dalton didn't like the movie, but doesn't hate it as much as Asa.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Lindsay loved the movie.
I really enjoyed it. Yes.
Mandy, I don't know.
Oh.
Now, if you listen to Nerd Up, you know
I. Oh no, it's insufferable.
I don't listen to new stuff either. I liked it, but I mean, like. I wouldn't probably go watch it again. Like, I enjoyed what I saw for the most part.
I
don't know.
I'm
in the middle because there's a lot of things I didn't like.
And that's where I found myself. I'm in the middle. I liked the movie, but I didn't love it. I also didn't hate it. I'm very torn apart by this movie because I'm with Ace on a lot of these things that a lot of the stuff that I saw in the film are some of my favorite moments I've ever seen in Star Wars. And a lot of it was just kind of there. Now there are some things that we disagree on, Asa and I, on this. Let's start with the Porg. I did not hate the Porg. In fact, before the movie came out, I thought I would hate it because we all saw the trailer and we went, oh, there's your cute little doll.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought they were harmless and kind of funny.
I was just disturbed by the roasted one because its feet were still attached.
Yeah, that was funny.
People eat pig's feet. But the feet were still there. Get rid of the feet and I won't be disturbed.
It's chewy.
I know, but
the feet.
No, you're lucky he cooked it.
I know.
How much would have that scene have been better if they walked in? If he just grabbed one and just popped his head off. Holy shit!
Would have been a lot different.
Star Wars got dark quick.
See, I really liked the Porgs right up until like the third scene in the Millennium Falcon that they were in,
and they're just like all up in the console. Yeah, where they like, okay, they you're in the way, go away.
Like the most obnoxious dashboard ornament of all time.
I liked it. I liked everything about them. I really did, and I thought I wouldn't because I hate Ewoks. I can't stand Ewoks.
I love Ewoks.
Aww. Yeah, Ewoks are adorable.
But I think a lot of that is just because of when I watched the movie.
And I'm sure a lot of kids that watch this love the Porg.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, the Porg is like a ridiculously hot selling toy.
But I thought that considering what we saw in the trailer and what they could have done with it, because what I expected was at some point in the movie, there's a big red button that says, hit this to destroy Dreadnought. And the Porg would have hit it by accident and won, saved the day. But they didn't do that.
No.
They were harmless. They just kind of were there. But Asa, you did not like the Porg. And I want to know why.
They were unnecessary and annoying. Like it's fine for like one scene. But they just kept showing up, but I also know like I'm not the audience that's supposed to enjoy it. I'm not that demographic that's gonna go out and buy Porg toys and Porg plushies. Like that wasn't meant for me. So I just
it gets serious and then they throw in a Porg.
That's also like nowhere near the middle of my list of things that I hated about the movie.
No, it's not. But you know there are some people that did like a major thing they hated was the Porg. Like I've seen some super hate on the Porg, and I just don't get the super hate.
And here's my issue with it was it was in the most serious battle of it was that last, the Millennium Falcon, and it was on with the salt planet. I don't remember what the planet was called.
Crate.
Thank you.
They named a planet for the Star Wars Battlefront DLC Crate.
I'm not.
Damn it. That just hit me.
That's terrible.
But yeah, so we have this serious like battle and then she was dicking around with these little, whatever they
to be fair, they were just there.
Fur birds.
Yeah, so, and what I told Jesse is I didn't hate the Porgs, but that scene where he was like, the Porg fell off and then Chewie put it back and it was there like two more times, that would have been fine if that would have been in the middle of the movie or even at the beginning. Like, it shouldn't have been at the very climax where it's the last battle.
I think that Star Wars.
I think that was a dumb choice.
Star Wars is kind of notorious for doing stuff like that, like having the serious moments ruined by something stupid.
Yes.
Back in Return of the Jedi, which is my least favorite Star Wars movie. Nah, that's not true. Episode 1 is everyone's least favorite Star Wars movie.
Yes.
The part where Han accidentally knocks Boba Fett into the Sarlacc. That was stupid.
Yeah.
That was stupid.
That was a super serious moment. Like,
and that was one of the most badass characters in the galaxy.
And that's how they murdered him.
Yeah. So
yeah, no, Star Wars is pretty notorious for that kind of stuff.
The goofy humor.
Yeah.
In fairness to like the Porgs versus Ewoks. At least the Ewoks battled. Like, the Porgs were just there.
That's actually why a lot of people say that the Ewoks are better because, or worse, rather.
Yeah, because, like, that's, I'm assuming that's why you hate them so much. Okay, it's because, like, these tiny little teddy bears killed the Empire.
I dived into this more because Hunter brought up to my attention that, like, and they even did it in the Honest trailers. They're like, there's no way the Empire would ever fall to these poorly trained, whatever, like Vietnam. And they started going over these things. And it's true. Like, whenever the superior army gets arrogant, they're against locals who know the area and everything better than them. There's a good chance they could lose. I think why I dislike the Ewoks so much is because the Porg, until recently, I just found this out today. The Porg, I thought, were basically put in there to go, hey, look at these cute things, and they're kind of out of the way and they don't matter. Whereas the Ewoks was, okay, we know these are going to be created to sell. We're going to sell this because this is cute and kids are going to love it. We're also going to make them a focal point of the battle. But their whole being there was to sell toys. And the fact that they won the battle was kind of an afterthought. Whereas the Porg are just there to sell toys. They did nothing of importance in the movie. They had no role other than being there. I did not know about, you read about the fact that they CG'd them in because there were actual puffins there. That there were so many, you guys read this?
The birds?
No.
Yeah. The director did a interview where he said that island that they substituted for the first Jedi temple.
Yeah.
There were so many puffins on the island everywhere that they could not film around it, and they're protected. So they could not get rid of them. So they had two options. It was either CG the birds out, which was going to be way more money, or CG over them with the Porg. And that's how the Porg would burn.
Were they thinking about killing all these puffins? They were like, we can't get rid of them.
No, they're just going to, like, relocate
cage
them.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they couldn't because it's like, technically the puffins own the island.
They had a gun for a second. They were like, you're going to have to get rid of all of them.
All I see now are these Porgs. And someone went, I told you not to hang out with those puffin twins.
But yeah, so the Porg were kind of, apparently they were a necessary evil.
They like, Superman upper lipped them.
Yeah, they did.
Except these didn't look near as bad.
I guess that's maybe why they gave them webbed feet.
Maybe. And I thought they were cute. You know, I thought they were cute.
They were cute.
But yeah, that's not even an important thing that people should bitch about. Like, to me. Like, that's just a taste thing. I thought that episode, I think I've really come to the realization that I don't think they're ever going to make another Star Wars movie that everyone goes, I love that movie. Because you never hear anyone say anything bad about Star Wars. You never hear them say anything bad about Empire Strikes Back. There is some criticism for Return of the Jedi, but it's still that nostalgic look. Everybody absolutely hated Episode 1, to be fair, and then kind of okayed Episode 2 and generally liked Episode 3. I think I stand by it. Episode 3 is my top 3.
Episode 3 is absolutely the most watchable of the of the prequels.
I think it's legitimately good.
I like 3 a lot.
There are a bunch of scenes in it that, like, I love. But it's like every Star Wars movie. There's also stuff I didn't like. You know? Like, that's every Star Wars movie. It's just Episode 1 was most of that. With a few things that I did.
Episode 1 was very much catered towards, like, little kids. Because I will say, I admit, when I watched that movie in theaters, and it came out in, what, 98?
99, I think.
99?
It was somewhere in there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would have been, like, 9, 10 years old when I saw that movie in theaters. Me and my little brother, who's a year and a half younger than me, loved that movie whenever we saw it in theaters. And then it wasn't until, you know, I was like 16, 17 and I watched it again. I was like, oh.
I think
you turtle 3'd it.
Yeah, I did.
I think we all left that movie going, oh, that was great. And then as the months and years passed by, you kind of went, well, I didn't really like Jar Jar. Well, I didn't really like the Senate stuff. And the Gungans were stupid as a whole. But Darth Maul was cool, right?
Yeah. The music was cool.
Duel of the Fates is one of the best Star Wars songs of all time.
Yeah, no, that movie gave us a few great things. Yeah. Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon Jinn.
Oh, yeah.
Darth Maul, Duel of the Fates, and
Obi-Wan.
There's an argument to be made about pod racing.
Yeah, pod racing is cool.
Okay, yeah, no, pod racing was cool because I absolutely loved that N64 game.
It gave us an N64 game, yeah.
It also gave us what to me is still will remain the most cringeworthy line in Star Wars history.
What's that?
About sand?
No. That one's bad, but like, I still think that Hayden Christensen, a lot of that was bad writing. It was also stiff acting, but the dialogue was not good.
But Hayden Christensen wasn't in the first one.
Well, that line wasn't in the first one.
What are you talking about?
He said, is it about sand?
Oh,
that's in part two.
I thought you were talking about your line. What's your line from episode
it's
one?
It's the, this is what I call pod racing. As he's shooting like the separatist ships. It's another, like Dalton said earlier, it's one of those super important battles. And the little kid's like, this is what I call pod racing. I want to slap the shit out of that little kid. Thankfully, life did it for me.
Oh, that's
You're not
mean.
Wrong.
But I think they generally go like, everyone hates one, likes two okay, likes three, accepts three as a good Star Wars movie. Rogue One was fantastic.
I loved Rogue
One. I think Rogue One set a new standard for Star Wars films.
Rogue One legit is my favorite Star Wars movie.
I was talking about this the other day with, again, Hunter, I think, because we talk a lot about Star Wars. I say Empire's my favorite, but I think it's because I've been conditioned to say Empire is my favorite, when in actuality, I really think Rogue One is my favorite. Because there were so many great things about Rogue One that I just absolutely love. Mm-hmm. I thought Force Awakens was good. And I thought, okay, well, with Last Jedi, they're going to write a lot of the mistakes they made in that first one. Everyone's going to love this one. And when I came out of the theater, I thought, oh, everyone loves this one. This is what Force Awakens should have been. I did not realize how divided the audience was on it. Like, it's almost prequel level of division.
The prequel was more universally panned.
Because you say
like two is accepted as like an okay one. It's really not. Like, it's pretty well second to last place in every list.
Return of the Jedi is below that.
I wouldn't say that, but, like, what I see with the comparison of one to two is like, you have one as that's pretty much generally accepted as the worst of the Star Wars films. And then you have like a major step up to two,
but it's still below.
Yeah, you're stepping out of a hole to get to two.
It's almost like you could have taken one and two and not done them.
Yeah.
If three would have been the standalone prequel, that would have been great.
Yeah.
You know?
Give us a little bit of history of Anakin and see where he turns as opposed to, because I didn't really need, you know, most of the backstory we got about Anakin.
You didn't need the midichlorians.
No.
You didn't need the sad teenage love story in part two.
Nope.
The only good thing about part two is Tyrannus.
Oh, yeah.
Dooku. Christopher Lee's awesome.
Some of that CGI walking down the hallway? Mm.
Well, the CGI wasn't until he was fighting. He actually did walk. The hallway was CG.
Oh, everything was CG in that movie.
Some of him actually walking
was also CG.
They had to CGI his head on another actor who could, like, walk.
Because I know they did that for all of the fight scenes.
It was the fight scenes, but it was also, like, there are scenes where, like, I don't remember what the specific ones, but you can find them, where it's just like, oh, here's all the clips of CGI, of Christopher Lee CGI'd, and it's just strolling.
That'd be a great casting call. What are the requirements? Can you walk?
Do you have a body?
Why, yes.
No head would be a plus.
I'll counter it with, I'm Christopher Lee. Okay.
I can't walk in your movie, but I'll be in it.
We will accept this because you're Christopher Lee. Yeah.
I know a lot of people that love the Yoda Dooku fight scene in that. They were like, oh, it was so cool to see Yoda fighting.
Theaters? Yes.
I hated it so much.
And again, this one, Attack of the Clones, came out when I was, 13? Because it would have been, 3 years after Phantom Menace, right?
Yeah, 3 years.
2002,
yeah.
2003, something like that.
Because they always have a 3-year cycle.
Yeah.
Until now. No.
Yeah, I said it was 2 years for this one.
Yeah, I was about to say.
That's because Disney has it now.
Disney's cranking them out every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. They're going to do one every year.
Is it?
I mean, it's all different directors and stuff, so they're getting time.
It's true.
Either way, that movie, I saw it in theaters. At that age, was awesome. Like, I was very much the target for pretty much everything they did in that movie. And then again, when I marathoned it, when I was like 17, like 16, 17, I don't remember when it was, when I was with a group of friends and we decided to watch all the movies. It's like, oh.
I still like Attack of the Clones. Like, there's a bunch of stuff in that movie that I loved. I hate the title though. I always hated the prequel titles. Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones. Like, I guess that's that old, like, sci-fi 50s feel. I still don't like them. Revenge of the Sith was okay.
And Attack of the Clones also doesn't really make very much sense.
Because the clones didn't attack. It should have been called Attack of the Separatists.
Right, or Attack of the Droids.
Roger.
It should be called Roger Roger.
Star Wars Episode 2, Roger Roger.
Yeah, I would have been fine with that. But, you know, Attack of the Clones never did make sense because they found the clones.
Yeah, and the clones fought back.
Yes.
The clones fight back.
Attack on the clones?
Self-defense of the clones.
Attack.
My favorite, that lightsaber battle I hated. My favorite lightsaber battle was actually in episode 3. It's Anakin versus Obi-Wan.
That was a fantastic
fight. I had to put sunglasses on in the theater because that hurt my eyes.
That one was so good because that's the only lightsaber duel that I've ever seen in the movies that felt like it had emotion in it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just look at us fighting with lightsabers. Like,
oh no,
the hatred of Anakin for Obi-Wan in that part, that was the best Anakin right there.
And it's also the only fight that we've really gotten between two, like, actually well-trained Jedi with lightsabers in the 8 movies we've gotten so far.
I mean,
other than the
Maul
rematch,
and Qui-Gon,
and the rematch in episode 4.
Yeah.
Which was much slower.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we did have, Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Maul.
Which was fine, but they didn't know each other. Like, again, there was
some of the flips seemed unnecessary and overly choreographed.
It's actually, well,
so
really...
there's many different styles of lightsaber duels.
But yeah, like we got that fight, and that was a truly fantastic fight. But yeah, it just, the only other one then, yeah, was Maul, Qui-Gon, and Obi-Wan.
It had a bad ending. Anakin, I've got the high ground. You've lost. Nuh-uh.
No, I am that much more powerful than you.
But yeah, oh. We're talking about the prequels. Ow. Let's get back to Last Jedi. We're talking about the prequels like we always do. Last Jedi had the best, really awesome fight scene that I think, I'm getting to the stuff we all agree on first. We all love the throne room scene, right?
It's important to note, no one's here to change anyone's mind.
No, yeah. No.
We're just talking about, like,
this is the stuff that we can all say, okay, we agree on that. Then we get to the stuff we don't agree on, and we talk about why we don't like them.
Yeah.
So I think the throne room scene we all loved, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I like it less just because of, like, what happened immediately after.
The ending was
cause in the theater, I was like, okay, I'm totally on board. And that was the first time in that movie that I was, like, super into it.
And then they just punched you in the face.
And then they started talking. And then it's over. And I'm like, well, now I'm out.
So the rule is don't let Kylo talk?
No, it's just like,
I love his voice.
They went with the safest, most boring of the possible choices. Where it's like, cause yeah, when Kylo kills Snoke, as much as I hated that, like.
You love scene, the turn.
I love the fact that it's like, okay, this is interesting. Kylo has done something interesting. Okay, now him and Rey are fighting side by side. Okay, where can this go? Kylo can join Rey and the Resistance and be, like, totally ostracized, but Leia's happy to have him back, but everybody else still hates his guts because of everything he's done.
Right.
But he has to try to prove himself. You have Rey, like, you know what? Yeah, our way's not working. I'm not, you know, maybe not fully joining the First Order, but siding with Kylo, and maybe when she delved into the darkness, she saw something that could give her answers there. Okay, I'm on board with that. Or, hey, fuck both sides. We'll just do things on our own.
A third faction.
We'll, you know, the gray, like the middle ground.
I kind of almost wanted him to do that, honestly.
Oh, I did too.
And instead it's, nope, Kylo's still evil, Rey's still good.
They just butt heads and walked away.
What I would have liked to have seen happen is, if I were writing the script, it would have been Kylo does join the Resistance. And then what's the general's name?
Hux.
Where's the Knights of Ren? You could have had the Knights of Hux go to the Knights of Ren, because the argument is that if Kylo joins the Resistance and it's Kylo and Rey, who can stand up against that? Because the only thing that can really stop Rey at this point is Kylo, mm-hmm. and vice versa. So if they're teamed up, who can fight them? The movie would be over. It would be too easy. But if you have the Knights of Ren and they're anywhere near as good as Kylo, then you could have had a faction for them to fight, and then they could have been the bad guys under Hux. There's your movie. But no, we didn't do that. I agree that I hated what they did with it. And the fact that it was just Kylo wakes up. Where's Rey? She left. She bounced.
She took a ship. She's out.
I did like the part where Hux pulls his pistol out, though. Like, that was cool.
Oh, where he was about to kill Kylo.
Oh, he's out cold. I'm going to fucking kill him. Nope, I'm going back up.
No. Oh, JK, he's moving.
Yeah, good. We good.
Oh, wait.
Hey, Kylo.
How's it going, buddy?
And then how much Kylo fucked with Hux through the rest of the movie. Uh-huh. Yeah. Every time Hux would disagree with him, he'd just slam him into a wall or something. Hux is going to get tired of that shit.
I did very much love the whole, like, no, Snoke was in charge. You're not in charge. Okay. No, okay.
Or when they're in the ship.
I forgot they could do
that. Long live the Supreme Leader.
When they're in the ship and he's saying fire on Luke and he disagrees and Kylo just fucking throws him into the wall. Yeah. He's like that little best friend you had but was weaker than you, so you just beat the shit out of him.
He was your best friend's little brother.
Yeah, there you go.
For Lindsay, that would be LeFou.
What?
Beauty and the Beast.
Good job, Dalton.
Yeah, I get it, but I was thinking more so you mean my little brother.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, because I was like, does Lindsay's little brother have a friend named LeFou?
No, his.
How interesting.
No,
why does Dalton know this?
Yeah, exactly. That was going to be my follow-up question.
How'd all these crickets get in here? It's weird.
I don't know which one of my little brother's friends that would have qualified as.
I mean, anyway. Did you ever try and punt one of them?
No, I just shoved Wesley into a wall once.
So, there you go.
You ran him over with a bike, too, but that's a different show for a different time.
Yeah.
That might have been on a past show.
But like that fight scene in itself was amazing, like with them working together against the not Imperial Guard.
I think they're called called Praetorian Guards.
They are called official the Praetorian Guards. Yeah.
And they were badass. They reminded me of the Empire, the Emperor's Red Guard. Yeah. I forget what they were called
the red
officially.
Plastic heads.
I mean, yeah. Aren't they also Praetorian Guard? Or
I think
that...
they had a specific name specific to that, but if you want to look that up for me and verify for me. The only bad thing about them is they never did shit.
Other than
they literally just stood awesome. There.
Oh, yeah. Look cool. Yeah.
These guys actually were badass, and their weapons mm-hmm. were badass. And that was just a cool fight scene.
Yeah.
That's another one where there was actual emotion in
it. With the room burning down around them, the movie itself was beautiful.
Yeah.
And that would probably be my favorite moment in Star Wars if they hadn't just like.
Uh-oh, Jesse's.
They were straight up called the Red Guard.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, Skyrim gonna sue somebody.
This existed long before that.
That's true.
I don't know about that. Skyrim's been out for a while.
At this point, I'm
pretty sure it was out on Super Nintendo.
I mean, it's been out on.
That might have been after the fact because they're just putting it on everything.
I was about to say, like that. That's
retroactively on Super Nintendo.
It's what a future did you, past per, port.
So, Hunter saw someone say, apparently Mark Hamill is in the movie twice. He is the little thing that puts coins in BB-8 when he's at the casino. He did the voice of that. Yeah. And then someone posted, I didn't know he was in there once because it's something like he wasn't Luke or something like that. The criticism being that Luke was terrible in this movie. I disagree.
Do you know
Luke was Luke in this movie?
I love Luke Skywalker.
Do you know who agrees with you that Luke wasn't Luke in this movie?
Who?
Mark Hamill.
Really?
This is not my Luke Skywalker.
Well, no, it's not, but I think this is a more interesting Luke Skywalker. Like, he can't be the naive farm boy good guy forever.
No,
you know?
But he could be the person that we left Return with.
Exactly. Because, I mean, you could tell an obvious difference between Empire and Jedi.
Of, like, assured, at peace. Like, I get he's been through some shit. Like, and that will change him. But, like, I don't know. None of it felt right.
I heard from Mark Hamill, like, including his own tweets, is that he loved being in that film.
Oh, he put his all into it. Let me.
And he loved Rian Johnson's take on it, and he loved Rian Johnson.
The transition from Empire Strikes Back to Return of the Jedi, I never bought. Ever.
I mean, it was a huge change.
Yeah, he goes from like wild-eyed pilot to completely calm Jedi Master in the course of like a two-day lesson with Yoda that he fucked up constantly. Bullshit. I never accepted that.
Did you ever lose your hand? Has that ever been a thing? I don't know. It's just the only one.
I guess that might make me calmer.
Ryan, I said, Jedis don't give up. I mean, even if he had a problem, he would maybe take a year to try and regroup. But if he made a mistake, he would try and right that wrong. So right there, we had a fundamental difference. But it's not my story anymore. It's somebody else's story. And Ryan needed me to be a certain way to make the ending effective. That's the crux of my problem. Luke would never say that. I'm sorry. Well, in this version, see, I'm talking about the George Lucas Star Wars. This is the next generation of Star Wars. So I almost had to think of Luke as another character. Maybe he's Jake Skywalker. He's not my Luke Skywalker, but I had to do what Ryan wanted me to do because it serves the story well. But listen, I still haven't accepted it completely, but it's only a movie. I hope people like it. I hope they don't get upset. And I came to really believe that Ryan was the exact man that they needed for this job.
Okay.
Well, how did we get Mark Hamill here?
Well, yeah. Hey, Mark. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that, buddy. He delivered pizza.
That was my one.
Yeah, that's very contradictory to every tweet that he's put out about this movie.
It's almost like he had to really kind of toe that Disney line, or they wouldn't give his pets back.
I think that's a stupid thing to say though. It's like this isn't my Luke. It was never your Luke Skywalker. It was George Lucas's Luke Skywalker.
I mean, he wrote the character. But, like, an actor very much has a sense of the character.
Yeah, but
and, like has their own sense of the character. Otherwise, they don't get. Otherwise, they can't. Portray him well.
But he didn't, he didn't create the character, like because you feel like the character wouldn't go in that direction, like, I thought it was a natural direction for Luke to go in that he failed his father died, he was the last Jedi, there was so much pressure on him, he failed the children died on his watch, like, I could see him wanting to go in exile, and like he said in the movie, the Skywalker blood is cursed, everyone thought I was this amazing thing, and I couldn't do anything. Because he didn't save the rebellion. No. Fucking Darth Vader did.
Also, you have the whole thing where, you know, he was, like, regardless of which of the three scenes was the most accurate, he was about to murder Kylo Ren in his sleep. Yeah. That was his plan. And when he didn't, he still caused Kylo to actually go to the dark side, resulting in
Everything.
So yeah, like that's got to take a toll on a guy.
Well, plus, and I think there's precedent in former movies that he would do that. Remember when he was on Dagobah and he wanted to leave to save his friends? Yoda told him, "Don't. Your training's not over." Luke ran off because he was
more emotional.
Yeah, emotional and hot-headed. Mm-hmm. Who would say he wouldn't go into exile because he's still emotional and hot-headed? Also, and
I feel like if anyone has a sense of the character Luke Skywalker, it's Mark Hamill. I'm not saying that your takes are wrong at all, but like, you can't just discredit his opinion because.
Yeah, and I apologize if it sounds like I discredited
him. He has put more into Luke Skywalker in theory than anyone else.
Yeah, because he was the only person to ever play him.
Like, I don't particularly agree with him. Like, it makes sense that he would go into exile.
Did you like this version of Luke Skywalker?
No. I didn't like it because it felt too disconnected. Like, he was too jokey for being too, like, the first thing where he sees the lightsaber and just tosses it and walks away.
I love that scene.
See, I didn't like it because it's like, okay, if he is that hurt and that upset,
why would he then go
help? He wouldn't be so dismissive. Like, I don't feel like he would be so like, just dismissive and aloof about it. That would be, like, kind of devastating to be like, oh, the amount of trouble you're in for you to have to come and find me. And, oh, here's this lightsaber that I haven't seen in 30 years or however long it was since when Kylo turned.
It was 30 years, something like that.
So whenever it was something, like, however long, like, it wouldn't just be like, oh, cool, fuck off.
I think he hates his own legacy so much that that's why he did it. I think he not only, like, is dismissive, I think he actually is spiteful toward his bloodline. And I think that's why he threw it behind him.
Spiteful,
I think it was a message.
His legacy, that was just a metaphor. Like, he wanted the whole thing to die. Like, he wanted the Jedi Order to die.
I hated that. And I hated that, too, because it's like, okay, no more Jedi. I am the last Jedi. There will be no more Jedi. Will you train me to be a Jedi? Okay, three lessons.
See,
him a really long time before that happened.
And his lessons were basically telling her not to do it. Yeah. His lessons were, the Jedi are cursed. That everything's awful. And Lindsay, I'm sorry. But I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. Keep
going. No, we're going
to
say.
I was just going to say, when I first saw it, my brain took it as when he first went to see Yoda, Yoda wasn't going to teach him.
That's true.
Threw it away. And basically he kept persisting and she did the same thing.
Okay. And I'm going to feel like an idiot. Why did Yoda train him?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
And I'm really asking. Like, I'm just blanking.
I thought Yoda was training him the whole time. He just didn't think he was being trained.
No, because he went there and Yoda said, "You're too old. I can't train you." And Luke basically said, "No, please do it." And then at some point,
didn't he talk with Obi-Wan?
I was about to say, well, wasn't he talked into it by Obi-Wan?
It's been a long time since I've watched.
Maybe
Empire.
It was. Maybe he did talk to Obi-Wan's guy.
Yeah,
I haven't heard from you much later. What did you think of Luke in this movie?
Kind of bored me, but I understand his
How was
character.
He? Not boring.
Oh, no, and he milked that goddamn thing. And it was that was
unnecessary.
So that was one of the most unnecessary, but I liked the moment just for the look on Mark Hamill's face. Just that look at her like, yeah, I'm drinking it right from the source. So.
Goes back to his green milk days and
blue milk.
Like, I get why
maybe
he's
it turns
like that.
Blue after it pasteurizes.
Oh, that's a long walk for something that didn't need to be there.
No. Yeah,
or it wasn't a long walk. It was just a disturbing walk.
Or that
it
gigantic fishing spear.
That was awesome.
Sweet. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Also, the map to Skywalker. It took me a while to finally kind of figure this out about why it's not as stupid as I originally thought. Because my first thought, and I think you thought this too, Ace, because you told me, was if you want to be an exile so goddamn much, why do you have a map to you? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, who made the map?
What I think it actually, so you haven't played Battlefront 2 yet, and I know that's stupid that they put it in there. I agree. But there's a part in Battlefront, oh shit, you're playing.
Go ahead.
Energy.
It's
okay.
Fine.
There's a part in Battlefront 2 where it's after Endor, after everything blew up. One of the guys is sent to Palpatine's like library, like his relic collection on this planet. And when he goes there, he finds Luke, who felt the need to go there. The Force called to him. And when they're there, they found a compass. And the guy, because Luke saved his life, he says, you know what? Take the compass. And they kind of don't mention it anymore after that. Well, the compass was actually the compass to the first Jedi temple, which is where he was in the movie. So what I gather is that the map to Skywalker was not a map to Skywalker. It was a map to that temple, and they should not have called it the map to Skywalker. They should have said it's the map to the first Jedi temple.
But they didn't know it was the first Jedi temple.
They just knew Skywalker went there.
Yeah.
And, apparently the rest of the map was just based on his, like, flight path from his X-Wing. That X-Wing that was in the water, how he got there. They were trying to trace his steps basically to find him. He didn't want to be found. They just kind of did. And like, the problem with that is, even if that's true, cause I don't think that's confirmed. That's just me cobbling together things. But even if that's true, like, you can't put that in a game.
In a $60 game.
You can't put that in a visual dictionary, which is another part of the piece of the puzzle. Like, you have to show us in the movie.
And apparently there's a lot of information in the comics.
There is. I hate that so much.
See, you can do it to where you add, you can add certain elements to the story, but they can't be story critical.
Right.
Which, this is kind of story critical, because as we got from The Force Awakens, is there is a map to Luke Skywalker.
That he maybe left.
That it kind of almost would have to be him, if he's the only one who knows where he is.
Mm.
And then if he made a map to find him, for him to just be like, the first thing he does, like, hey, we need your help. We got your map, we followed you here. Oh, fuck off.
Well, maybe.
Then Luke's just a dick.
Maybe if she had said something. Instead of just standing there with doe eyes, with her mouth open, holding his lightsaber out. Because in the Last Jedi, it lasted 5 seconds. At the end of The Force Awakens, it was a 30-second stare of them just looking at each other. I remember being uncomfortable going, oh, let's wrap this up. Let's wrap up this stare. Dalton.
See, my thought was, because we've seen in both the last two movies, we've seen something burning, somebody touching R2-D2, but in the new movie, we got that more extrapolated, where we were able to see it. And I just assumed that he put that map in R2-D2 as a...
Find me if you need me.
Find me if you need me. But then it goes back to what Asa said is, oh, you found me? Fuck off.
See,
it makes no sense. And maybe I didn't read a book, of like a Star Wars book, where it's like, no, whenever you find your Jedi trainer, they're a dick to you for like 3 weeks.
That's part of the training.
That was in the actual second Jedi tome.
Yeah.
Like, be an asshole.
Yeah, that was the third lesson that we never got. So, be a dick bag.
So also, another thing that if you got the visual guide explains, and this is kind of cool. Well, this is just an Easter egg, but it's a cool Easter egg.
I was about to say, I don't like this anymore.
Apparently in Luke's, whatever, where the books were, there's a red crystal that everyone assumes is like Darth Vader's crystal, you know, for the lightsaber. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in a casing that in the visual guide, and I don't remember the exact name of it, but it's called something of Revan. It's Darth Revan's crystal,
cool. Yeah.
Which ties into the Old Republic, which is the first time they've ever actually recognized the Old Republic in a mainstream Star Wars. They also called Darth Sidious, which was a prequel thing. They never did. That was kind of cool too.
Yeah, well, they also don't recognize those games as canon anymore.
Right.
They don't, but this could mean that maybe they'll take elements from it.
Yeah.
And because Darth Revan's one of the best stories.
Oh, yeah, Knights of the Old Republic is legit one of the first RPGs I ever finished.
Right.
Like, I love that game.
A great twist, too, which is now ruined. Like, even people that have never played the game know the fucking twist at this point.
Yeah, because that was, you were playing a couple days ago.
And you started to talk about it, and I was go ahead.
Well, no, because you were just like, yeah, no, it's a great game. The twist, the end's amazing. It's like, yeah, no, you're the bad guy. You were like, you said you've never played it. I have watched Mojo on YouTube.
Yeah. Everybody knows the...
Plus, I mean, BioWare is just, they're twists. That was classic BioWare stuff right there. They have the best twists in video games. They always have one in all of those early video games, and they're always incredible.
It's like M. Night Shyamalan.
If they didn't suck.
Thank you. All right, so let's talk about a more controversial topic real quick. Captain Phasma.
How is that controversial?
No,
her death was pointless.
I liked her, and I'm the only one, apparently.
I mean, role was pointless.
I did really like Captain Phasma.
She's kidding.
I also really liked Boba Fett. And I really like Jango Fett.
Well, okay, so of those three, Jango Fett had the most to do.
Yeah.
He actually killed people.
He got cloned a lot.
He did.
He got cloned so much. And his fight, his fight with Obi-Wan was actually really cool.
It was. And then he got his head chopped off at the end.
Yes, he did.
And his son picked it up and stared at it longer.
The Finn one could have been, neat if it had gone longer. And also, again, I hate the fact that it's your most battle-hardened, highly trained, expert combatsman. Versus space janitor, who, yes, he was a stormtrooper. He had certain combat training. He was the greenest of green rookies.
Because in the first movie, he fought against that one stormtrooper who had the vibroblade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only reason he lived was because Han shot that dude in the back.
Right.
Yep.
Then he fought Kylo at the end of the movie. Got his ass kicked. Kylo chopped him in his back and left him in a back to tank.
I need to figure out what makes bubble wrap healing sensitive.
it's the water inside of it.
It's space bubble wrap, to be fair.
It's space bubble wrap.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but in this movie, didn't Phasma beat him? And then he just fell onto something.
I mean, it was absolutely a cheap shot, is how he came back. Because he fell down.
Right. He got back up on the elevator.
And then she just hit her once with the blade in the face, and then she just happened to fall through the floor.
But it just went, for me, again, it's nitpicking. It's just, I didn't like like The Force Awakens, so I'm not giving this movie any like leeway for stuff that I didn't like that a lot of people can. Like, okay, yeah, I mean, but it didn't impact my enjoyment of the movie. Mm. Whereas, like, for me, it's like, yeah, but no, she should have just, like, murdered him immediately.
She should have murdered somebody. Yeah. There needed to be a scene in that movie where she went ham on a group of rebels.
Do you know why she was only in 3 minutes of the movie?
I do not.
Rian Johnson did an interview with IGN, and he said, like, well, look at the movie, though. Like, it's so full of important, necessary story beats and characters, there's just no space for her.
Then why bring her back?
Then why make her look like a badass?
Why dedicate
30
minutes
nothing?
To a plot line that went nowhere?
Why do we have to do the fancy Mos Eisley casino? Why do we have to have Rose?
Rose, the hero
Jedi.
Of the internet?
Yeah.
She apparently is beloved. Oh, she's the new, most beloved character in Star Wars now.
The internet's what? Wrong.
For appearing.
I have not seen that at all.
When I went to, I think it was Kotaku, and it was from Deadspin or another site that they do, but it said, thank God for Rose, the hero of Star Wars. And then they were just talking about how she's different, she's, minority and all this, and I'm like, I get that. Like, that's cool, sure.
But and
like,
Finn's the character. And they're like, excuse me?
Yeah.
I mean, I like Rose, but I don't think that she'd be like hero status.
No, she didn't really do anything. Well, she zapped Finn. That was funny.
That was really funny.
Like, and that's honestly where her, like,
part
she should not
ended.
Have. She, yeah, like, the end.
Because, yeah, she was supposed to go to, like, she could have, you know, changed the tracker. The, lights hyperspeed tracker.
Yeah, the hyperspeed.
Because that was her other task.
Yeah.
But they got interrupted.
Yes. And I'm still a little bitter about Captain Phasma because, okay, so I'm a man, clearly. Like, I'm a big man. And, Lindsay and Mandy, did you think, like, Captain Phasma being, like, one of the, not the only strong woman in Star Wars, because there's lots of strong women in Star Wars,
now.
Especially in this one.
But isn't she the only strong female bad guy that I can remember in the films? Because I know when you have, like, Clone Wars and you have Asajj Ventress or whatever and a couple of characters, but in the movies, she's the only strong female bad guy, right? Am I wrong?
I think.
I mean, I can't think of any other. I can think of.
And so, look at the original trilogy. There's only like three women in that movie that aren't slaves or dancers or.
Two that I can think of: Mon Mothma and Leia.
Oh yeah, so two. There are two.
Peru.
Oh yeah. All the toy and Peru. The toy set where it's just like charred bones.
I mean, if they re-released it, I would buy it.
But as women, do you think that that kind of sucks? That the only strong female villain just. Blink and she's gone.
Oh, I looked at Jessie like, oh, what the fuck? Like, when she just, I was like, really, you don't get back up any sooner and you act like completely badass that you are way better than, like, Finn is literal trash and you just lay on the ground and stare at him.
Well, she called him scum.
Like, you would get back up and be like, fuck no, I'm gonna kill you. You wouldn't just lay there and stare.
It's cause her chrome is actual metal, like, where all the other stormtroopers are in plastic.
She's like Metal Mario, she weighs so much that she couldn't actually get up.
She had to go like
Bender.
It's
like in jousting when they got knocked off their horses.
Start rolling.
She does look so badass, like I think Captain Phasma could be one of, cause she's already like one of the most classic characters for no reason.
Well, in, you know, maybe
like Boba Fett.
Maybe in like a year we'll get a 12 issue comic arc.
Maybe she's actually been in comics.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying, that's what I'm referencing.
Maybe she'll get her own film.
She, like, if you want to know how she got out of the trash compactor and survived that, comics. That's all in the comics you have to read.
The only way that I will forgive this is if in episode nine.
Like, she better have a better role or something. Otherwise, what's the point?
If they, like, set, like, the 20 resistance members, they catch them on a mission and set them all down, like, prisoner style, and Finn's there, and she walks in and goes, oh, I'm still alive. And then she just guns down everyone but him to make him watch. I will forgive it, but they won't do that because they won't go that dark.
No.
They will not go that dark. Real and that's dark. A shame because Phasma deserves that. Like,
someone's
she deserves that badass moment.
I don't, Punisher.
See, I don't know. I think they didn't go that dark, but like the scene with Luke, like especially Kylo's take of it.
Yeah.
That was like, dark. That was pretty dark.
Where he was going to be murdered by his teacher.
Right. Yeah. Like that wasn't.
But didn't show the children being killed. So.
The younglings.
The younglings.
I don't think Kylo killed them. I think Snoke did. I think Snoke killed the kids and took Kylo and the rest with him to whatever. Because I think if they're going to do a redemption story and you have Kylo actually be the one that killed the children, then that kind of makes him irredeemable in my eyes.
I mean, apparently it was the Knights of Ren that came to pick him up.
But see, I thought they were the Knights of Ren. Like, I thought the children
were
the Knights of Ren.
Yeah. The Knights of Ren existed before
Kylo. That's
where
he got his name.
And that's so frustrating because they sound so cool, but it's like, why did we never hear about them before? Where do they come from? Who are they? I don't want to have to pick up the compendium.
The compendium.
There you go. Jesus Christ. I don't have to pick that up to figure out who the Knights of Ren are. I want the movie to tell me.
Yes.
I want to eat popcorn and be told.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would like to have something to do with the Knights of Ren at some point in the movie, because we barely got Knights of Ren mention in the movies.
They had that one scene where Rey had like the nightmare and it showed Kylo with the rest of them.
Yeah.
And that's why I assumed they were the other children. Like they all grew up and Snoke trained them and now they are the Knights of Ren. Yeah. And I think if you have the next movie, the Knights of Ren are the only way that you can turn Kylo good again. Like if they decide to go full on, because in this movie, he didn't kill his mom. He could have,
but he didn't.
But he didn't. So there are clearly aspects of him that are like, he doesn't want to be evil. He just feels, he's a really fucked up child, well, is what he is.
No, he
that's why he wants to forget the past.
In retrospect, if he tried.
She survived it.
No, because he would have jumped out of the spaceship with his lightsaber, struck her down in mid-space, and then jumped back into his lightsaber and took off.
You know, if Han could have, like, force-pulled himself out of that pit that he, after he got stabbed, he would have been fine, too.
Depending Han on who's directing the movie and how much money they offer him, I don't think Han Solo's dead.
It's like if... it goes back to like what you said about Vader, though. Was Vader good, or did he only care about his son?
I think he only cared about his son.
Does Kylo have any good in him, or does he only care about his mom?
So because he hated his dad, clearly. One of the lines in the movie that I really liked was when Luke said, "If you strike me down in anger, I'll haunt you for the rest of your days, just like your father." I like that line because clearly Han Solo is not a Force ghost. Mm-mm. It's just the memory of Han Solo still torments Kylo mm-hmm. Ren. Mm-hmm. And do we all love Kylo Ren in this movie, though?
Yes.
Because some people were iffy on him.
Mandy, your turn to talk.
Not just the shirtless part, Mandy.
I don't like him at all.
I love the shirtless part.
You don't like
part.
Kylo?
No, he knows the shit out of me.
I mean, he's kind of a whiny bitch, but I still like him.
That's why I like him, is because, like, he is so...
He's a child,
and he's believable.
Like, I like him a lot better now.
Yeah, the rage fits that he goes into when he sees Luke Skywalker and he has everyone shoot him, when he goes out to fight Luke, even though he's basically letting them all get away. Like, his arrogance and his... hatred is what will let them win in the end.
Well, I don't think it was arrogance at all. I think it is all hatred.
I think there's a little arrogance, like, especially with his dad.
He's better too.
Yeah, he thought he was above his father for sure. At least I think
the acting in this movie is amazing.
It
was like, and especially, and I think it's a lot better in the second movie now because they have the first movie under their belts,
right.
And everybody has a better understanding of like who their characters are.
Adam Driver was amazing.
Yeah.
In this movie. I was disappointed in Poe Dameron because I loved him in the first one.
Oh, I loved him in this one.
Here's what I hated.
I liked him.
This is what I hated about Poe, and Jesse disagrees with me, which is fine. But like, his story arc and Finn's story arc was also terrible because Finn's story arc was just the same from Force Awakens. I'm too scared to fight. I'm gonna run away.
Yeah.
I've learned my lesson. I have to fight for my friends. Which movie did I describe?
Both.
But Poe, New Hope.
Like, the lesson that Poe, oh my God. The lesson that Poe learned is, okay, these crazy, like, suicide mission, like, ragtag group doesn't always win. Like, David versus Goliath, 9 times out of 10, Goliath wins. And he's leading his troops to danger by doing that. The only time he's, like, has an opportunity to learn that message, or to learn that lesson, is when it's like, no, David has to try. There's no other option.
Mm-hmm.
We're all about to die. And it's like, okay, well, pull back.
Did you say David?
Yeah, David versus Goliath.
Oh, shit. I blanked for a second. I was starting to think of who David was in the movie.
DJ.
I like DJ. Like, I know a lot of people didn't. I think it was more interesting with
Benicio del Lando.
Instead of Justin Theroux, who I still don't know who that is. Everybody made a big deal. Oh, Justin Theroux's in the movie.
He's an actor.
Is he married to Jennifer Aniston? Anyway.
He's an actor.
I don't know.
He looked shitty. He was just that stereotypical, and I like Benicio del Toro, and I love that his name is DJ, and I love that that stands for don't join, and that his motto in life is that live free, don't join. The part where they're talking about war profiteering,
mm-hmm.
and how the same people that sold the First Order their weapons are the same people that sold the Resistance their weapons. Mm-hmm. I love that part.
I like
that. Yeah. That was great.
But I didn't like the way that they, cause he tried to make it seem like the Resistance is just as bad as the First Order.
Which they're clearly not.
No, that's not what I got from that at all. Like, I think he was just trying to say, like, you can't just judge someone because of their role in the war.
The smarminess of it when he's talking to Finn about it.
Well,
it seemed like he was trying to, like, rub it in his face. Like, oh, see, your side buys from them too. Like, yeah, you hate these people so much. But look, your side uses them.
Like, he was saying they were equal.
You? Yeah, like that. That's what I got from it. Was that was?
I mean, the people outside of all wars are going to see both sides as equally bad.
Let me just point on that real quick, because I agree with what you're saying, because that's how war is. Everyone sees their side as the right. Like, I'm sure Nazi Germany, the Nazis thought they were right.
Yeah, they
were
legitimately
doing.
Thought the Jewish people were an inferior, disgusting race, and that it was best for humanity as a whole to wipe them out entirely.
And I think that that's kind of the message that go within this movie, where how the rebels are just the worst scum of the earth. They think the rebels are scum. We're going to fight back. But the Nazis were kind of contained within one or two, you know, countries sympathetic to their cause, whereas the rest of the world thought they were monsters. Now, put that in a whole galaxy. Which amount of people in the galaxy and the universe thought that the Empire, who enslaved aliens and like blew up planets that they disagreed with, and then especially the First Order, who blew up like five planets at once, who goes like, yeah, maybe we're not the good guys in this because we just murdered planets.
There's an answer for that. It's the people who hated the First Order. Like, no, that's who joined the First Order.
This is
we're all of the planets that hated the First Order.
This is me strictly.
I looked into it because I genuinely, like, coming out of Force Awakens, had no idea, like, what the First Order was and how it came to power. I didn't read any extra books. So I went to Wikipedia, which is.
I've been going there a lot lately.
Star Wars special edition. Basically, what happens is the Empire falls. All of their sympathizers go to the Outer Rim. They try to chase them out there, but they're like, we're too fortified, so we can't do anything. Leia and the nonsense, like, cause they split into two political factions, and Leia's side's like, no, we probably need to, like, take care of this, and everybody else is like, let them be, it's fine, nothing, what's the worst that's gonna happen? So then the First Order keeps getting more and more powerful because they keep breaking their armistice deals, and of course they do, and Leia's, like, just continuously, hey, so,
this over thing, here?
Like, we need to be paying attention over here, and like, no, it's not worth it, it's fine. By then, it's the First Order. They blow up the five planets, and the people who are like, no, we need a central government, because that's how the Empire, that like, that's the only way to prevent something like the Empire from happening, is we need to all centralize all of our government and just have this one thing.
I mean, that was the Empire.
And then they blew everything up, and then they're like, oh, crap. Yeah, no, we were with you all along.
Uh-huh.
Please don't blow us up.
Yeah, but now their base is gone. The Starkiller base is no more. Now, literally, all they have are ships. You telling me there's not another, like, at the end of the movie where they, like, send a distress call to everybody?
I just want to make it clear. I'm not defending the First Order. I think it's real dumb.
No, I agree with you. Like, and even if it's real dumb, any explanation like that in the movie would have been nice. Other than going, here is the First Order.
And that's why.
Who are the First Order?
That's what I hated about Snoke. Because, like,
is this guy?
When I say that I'm really bummed that we got nothing with Snoke, I'm like, well, we didn't get anything with the Empire. It's different because coming into Star Wars, the Empire is a set, like, we know exactly what this is. This is the evil dictatorship government, and the Empire's at the top.
You told they were in power.
You're told you're in power. You don't really have a reason to question, like, how he came to power. Like, that's minutia that is, like, fan service-y. With the First Order, it's kind of important to figure out, like, okay, who is Snoke?
Who's Captain Bathrobe over here?
How did he, like,
a nice bathrobe,
is he
bro.
The one that rallied all of these other troops? Like, I want to know something there because they're...
Who are the Knights of Ren?
Because they're the ones coming up and, like, mm-hmm. You just kind of have to assume, like, I don't know.
You can't just...
I know I'm rambling, but...
No, I agree with you. And that's, like, that's the one thing I hated about... And I was talking today to a certain person, and I said, like, the thing I hate about the First Order is, like, I still don't know what they're doing. Like, two movies in, and I still don't know who they were. Like, you were just told this is the First Order. That's not good enough for me.
They are the remnants of the Empire... That had consolidated power and slowly, and well, not so slowly, like blew up five planets and then kind of just took over the rest of the.
Because they're trying to reestablish the old empire.
Right.
Well, even worse. Like, it seems like the first order is even, because like, the emperor was never a good person, obviously, but even they didn't go to the lengths that the First Order did in their first, like, mission.
Yeah, they only blew up one planet at once.
They blew up one planet, and it was, yeah, it wasn't good. But, like...
They also, like, I guess slavery and...
The human side of me goes, okay, I could never join an organization that blows up five planets full of innocent people. I'm also the same guy that was critical of, like, dropping an atomic bomb on Japan. Like, I think that was too much. And I get the argument that it prevented war, but it also killed a lot of people who had nothing to do with it. So I can't fathom how anyone would ever join an organization where you murder senselessly. But that's not for me.
Yeah, I was about to say self-preservation. That's literally it. Because, like, maybe all these people don't know that they had the one base that blew up five planets and they don't have another one. I mean, the Death Star got brought back.
Well, I mean, even the people that joined the First Order. Like, who would join the First Order and go,
sympathizers? Think you're safer. Yeah. You feel safer. Like, oh, am I going to die by them or the Resistance?
But like Asa said, they let them go. They got away. They could have started new lives. Instead, they pooled their power together and came up and,
well, a lot of them were like planets. War criminals and stuff too.
See, stuff like that I'd like to see in the movie. Like, I wish they would have had somebody on trial.
There's gotta be a middle ground. Like, everyone agrees the prequels went way too into the minutiae and, like, daily political
Senate and taxation and stuff like that.
But there needs to be a middle ground. Like, you don't have to go full Senate hearing. Like, I don't need to see space C-SPAN.
Yeah.
But I also
say that five times fast.
I tried. I could do it once. But then you also, I need more than just, no, they're in power now. Everyone's afraid. But like, it was on Wikipedia. It wasn't shown in the actual like film because it's the majority of the anti First Order armada, like the actual government's like military was blown up as part of that Starkiller strike.
Yeah.
If it was just like part of a debriefing or something. I mean, they did that in the originals.
Yeah. There needs to be something. Like, I don't want to wait years for another prequel to explain it.
This was a 2.5-hour movie.
Yeah.
And so much of it felt unnecessary and like so much stuff that should have been in and like could have really enhanced the story. We're just left having to speculate on or like go to outside sources to get.
And honestly, I think the outside sources is their middle ground, because otherwise, like, me personally, going back to The Force Awakens, I think I would have disliked having the first 30 minutes of the film explaining how and why the First Order came to power. Like, I just kind of accepted, like, oh, these are former Empire people, let's go.
Yeah, but I would even accepted, like, at the very beginning, have some part where Hux briefs his, like, the speech they gave halfway through the movie on Starkiller Base. Have that kind of be at the beginning to kind of just give a little bit of exposition about who we are and what we're doing. You know, like,
well, and just for me, because like the main problem I have with it is they're supposed to, like, the roles are supposed to be reversed now. The rebellion is the Empire, and the Empire is now the rebellion. They're the ones rising up against the government they don't agree with.
They are the Resistance.
They're the Resistance. Yeah. And so, but they are always portrayed as having the upper hand, the superior numbers, the superior firepower. And it's like, how are you better than the government's military?
Yeah.
It's like the North Dakota or wherever, like, militias, like, like the National Guard showing up and just being wildly, like, outarmed.
Also, a lot of that, like, we don't know a whole lot about what the military is now. Because we didn't have, like, it's not like they had this super great, awesome military at the end of the trilogy.
Are you talking about the Empire or the rebels?
The rebellion. Yeah. Like, the people that are in power now, we don't know what their military is.
Yeah. But I feel like
they had 30 years to.
That's what I was going to say. In the 30 years, you think they would have developed some kind of security system.
You'd think, but how much of that time was spent trying to establish the new government versus, like, I feel like establishing a new military was likely on the back burner for having to establish an entirely new government, because the Empire had been in power for so long and everybody was just kind of used to that sort of rule. And you have this small ragtag group of rebellions or rebels that are now trying to form a government. Maybe they didn't have the time to start making this giant military.
See, I hated the fact that the Death Star, according to the original trilogy, was like the be-all, end-all of Empire. You know what I mean? Like, you blow up the Death Star, and now suddenly the Empire's gone.
They're decentralized.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if it's a true Empire, like, if they have a galactic stranglehold like they say they do,
they should have still had more battles.
They should have had more battles.
There were two more movies after it got blown up.
No, I'm talking about in Return of the Jedi.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Afterwards. Like, there should have been, like, still other bases as far as
that's part of the
First Order.
That's part of the First Order thing.
But, and so I feel, I wish they would have said that. It should have been okay, we beat the Empire years ago, but they never went away. The First Order has always been around. Like, the war never stopped. Because the way they make it sound is that they beat the Empire, the Republic was born again, everything was fine, but now the First Order is kind of coming back. And I would have rather it been it was always this way. Even now they're still fighting in chaos.
I will say too, again, this is all like just in the, how everything, like how everyone takes everything. Like, it's my personal interpretation was everyone reported to the Empire, But like the planets were, had a system of government there. Not all of them were, you know, Empire sympathetic. Some of them were like, okay, we're ruled by the Empire. We have to answer to Darth Douchebag.
Like,
So we have to.
Bespin, Cloud City.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, so like, we're not happy about it. We wish it wasn't this way, but for the safety of our people and for us, we have to. Mm. And so now that the Empire is gone, and now it's like, hey, so do you get to have an equal say in, like, you, so they have like systems there. In place to like run the planets, I guess.
Yeah.
Like it's local government. I don't know.
Also, yeah,
I
mean, they all have their county governments.
But so
space
county. I'm not saying it wouldn't take, it would be an incredible effort to try to like restructure the entire galaxy based around that. But I don't think it would, I don't think it's quite as drastic as, okay, well now like only the, now only the rebels are in charge. I think there were, you know, other like bureaucrats and politicians and there were people in place that can step in and help that.
But forming, yeah, they still had to form. Like I can't imagine
a galactic
forming a government on a galactic scale, how much effort and time that would take. Not to mention how many Empire sympathizers there absolutely still were.
Right.
Just because like there were a lot of people out there, a lot of planets that thought that the Empire was this great thing.
Yeah.
They were protecting us from threats.
I think part of the problem is they never really go into detail about how the planets work in relation to each other or the galaxy in relation to itself. You know what I mean? Like,
and again,
I mean,
they did in the prequels and everybody hated it.
I was going to say, like, and that sounds like a terribly boring movie.
Well, it would be, but
it needs to be a TV series.
But again, it's,
but there are people,
Space C-SPAN.
But there are people that say like, well, you know, why, I'm trying to remember, there was a argument I used to make of like, how did they not know about the Jedi? Like, the Jedi were in power 40 years ago, and at this point now everybody refers to it as an ancient religion. And somebody said, well, you know, they may have been on a planet where they hadn't heard of the Jedi. Maybe it was a planet where the Jedi weren't prevalent, you know.
Also, space propaganda.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, there's no way to tell, because they never really set it up, what knows what about how much and how much. And maybe, some planets maybe never even knew the Empire lost.
And it's,
you know?
Oh man, yeah. Wouldn't that be a bad.
It's also the thing where it's just like, Star Wars as a whole is a franchise built on plot holes.
Yeah, and leaps of faith.
Look at Rogue One. That is an entire movie dedicated to fixing one plot hole in the first movie.
From 30-plus years
before that. And not like, and just, and it's not even like a huge, like a line.
Yeah, like, just one, it's one throwaway line.
How do we take
that
Death Star down? I don't know, hit that exhaust pipe.
Why?
I'm more interested in how those torpedoes, like, just shoot 45 degrees down.
How did they do that?
It's missile locking. We played Galactic Assault. He pressed RB for a while.
Yeah,
but those are S's. That's not a hard angle.
This is an L.
But also, the hard questions. Where the fuck was Lando? Where the fuck is Lando?
Who cares?
He probably got shot at some point.
Oh.
Billy Dee needs work.
He was in the game. He plays Lando in the game, which is cool.
Good for him, and he's Two-Face in the Lego Batman movie.
Do you not like Billy Dee Williams?
I mean, I have no problem with it, but my biggest gripe about Force Awakens is how much they relied on the original trilogy to tell a story.
Yeah, but you would imagine that Lando Calrissian would still be involved.
I mean, maybe, but I don't...
As old as Han was, maybe Lando died.
No!
Natural causes?
Stop it!
But at least mention it.
I think he got himself shot.
There's little things I hate about that. Like, why don't they mention Lando? Do you think they would at least mention
Because the galaxy has billions of people, and they have to focus on Rose.
Oh, God damn it.
Lando wanted to stay out of it after the mess before.
They didn't have time for Phasma. They are in Lando.
So we're kind of out of time. We could talk about this for a long time.
Real quick.
I wanted to see if you guys wanted to go a little longer, if you wanted to.
I don't want to go crazy longer.
You
want to
talk about Space Leia, don't you?
That's not even the part that I want to talk about, because I hate, because yes, I did hate that.
That was dumb.
I
can't believe we didn't get to Space Flight Leia.
That was my favorite part of the movie.
Wait a minute.
No, okay. Real quick. I didn't hate it as much as everybody else did. Like, I thought it was kind of out of nowhere, but she was clearly strong with the Force, and you would think she would have been trained.
She wasn't trained. Confirmed. Uh-huh. She was not trained by the Force. Ryan Johnson did an interview where he said this was basically the equivalent of a mother lifting a car off of her toddler. She just panic reactioned.
Because she's strong with the Force.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, because she's a Skywalker. I have no problem believing that Leia is Force sensitive. I personally believe Han was very Force sensitive.
To get those lucky shots,
like he didn't believe it, and that's fine. But like, I think it was there for him.
He dislocated his neck to avoid that one bolt.
But Leia clearly is Force sensitive. She had the connection to Han. She had the connection to Luke. She had Skywalker blood in her. There's no way she wasn't Force sensitive.
Right.
The problem I have with it is it's just like,
I mean, they even mentioned it in the movie.
It's just like, wow, you can just like pull yourself.
Okay, yeah, that's where I'm
like, that's
so I didn't have a problem with the scene itself because I know a lot of people did. What I have a problem with is, and I told Dalton this earlier, it's like they change the Force depending on what the script needs it to be.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the original movies, the Force was merely kind of like some psychic ability, telekinesis, and you were good with a lightsaber. As it went on, they added more and more things to it.
That's because the Force is this big, mystical, mysterious thing, and like that, it's
but it's also a religion led by space bugs in your blood.
You didn't hear Luke on the island? It's nature. It's being one at everything. No, which fuck means, you, it's space blood. It's
pick
space
something!
Blood. Yeah, which I mean, means in fairness,
they did pick something. It's canon.
They fired it out of a cannon?
Into the sun.
Good.
Let's do that.
I mean, honestly, there's no reason for Luke to have known about midichlorians.
I do, though.
Well, I know we do. But I'm fine with Luke not mentioning it because there's no reason for him to have known about it.
Luke doesn't have to watch the movies. We do.
Oh, yeah. And I'm fine with him ignoring midichlorians.
He asked Yoda, how do you know who's a Force user? Is there like a test you could take? And Yoda's like, no.
What do I do with my
there's
feet?
There's not.
Don't worry about your feet.
What are you worried about your feet?
It's in book three of the Jedi Tomes.
Okay, so what were you upset about?
The thing that I hated the most, which, cause like, yes, basically it was dumb.
It looked dumb.
It looked dumb. I thought
it was kind of cool though.
I think it could have been an interesting thing where, okay, Ben has the chance to kill his mom, but he can't, but she dies anyway. And now he has to deal with, okay.
That's where I thought it was
going
to go.
So now I have my hatred of Luke versus, well, now they're the ones who killed my mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he's just torn on everything.
Plus, let's address the elephant in the room. Carrie Fisher passed away.
Yes.
Which is extremely unfortunate.
Phenomenal death scene for her.
That would have been. Mm-hmm. And now they're stuck with, because I thought they had already filmed her scenes for 9.
Did they not?
No, they did not. They said she will not be in the movie at all. They're not going to CGI her, thankfully. She is not going to be in the film. So what do you do now?
So
Leia's
just gonna get a line. Leia's gonna get a throwaway line.
Here's
or what, like at the very best, we're gonna get a funeral scene for her.
Beginning funeral
of the movie.
Maybe a year or two has passed. Leia passed away from whatever, and it's a funeral scene, and they have to.
That would be the best way. As opposed to oh well,
I don't think they'd do that.
Admiral Organa has went to this one last planet.
She's hiding
to try to.
Get. And they get like they pull a. Not to go to a completely different thing, but they pull a Henry Blake from MASH where they just get a message and they just read, has been shot down.
Fucking
blah, blah,
Finn
blah.
Walks in and just says, Leia's Princess gone. Leia's ship was crashed. There were no survivors.
they said the ship was too small to track.
Well, they tracked her through everywhere.
So
I'm sorry. So.
The second coolest part of the movie for me was when temporary Admiral Purple Hair Holdo.
Do you know who she was, by the way?
Like in
Jurassic Park?
Like in real life?
Yeah.
I didn't. The whole movie I was going like, why does she look so familiar? And I looked it up and I was like, holy shit, that's Laura Dern. She looked awesome.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So
Purple Hair was on hit.
When she goes light speed into the dreadnought, that was amazing.
That was
cool.
The
silence, like it was done so well.
Yeah.
It could have been entirely avoided.
Yes.
That was in her sacrifice and all of the resistance dying.
Yes.
Was entirely unnecessary.
Yes.
All she had to do was like, oh, this guy is a notorious hothead known for doing stupid things.
Lock him up.
Not even that. Just like, hey, listen, I know you're mad. I know you're worried about your friends.
This is what we're doing.
This is what we're doing. They have tracking, like we have cloaking things on our ships. They can't see. They're too small to see. There's this planet we're going to go to. It's going to be fine. Yeah. Instead, hey, go do this crazy convoluted thing that only one person in the entire universe can do. Thankfully, this other guy can do it too.
Yes.
Go do this. And then they get captured and it's.
You know how.
She killed the resistance.
You know how they could have saved that scene for me? Because I thought when they first showed her and there was the strife between it, one, I thought there was maybe sexual tension between her and Poe. Come on, you saw it too. The way they looked at each other. That was going to be a hot couple.
That's actually what one of my roommates actually kept making that joke. He's like, there was sexual tension between
totally
almost every
was.
Character yeah. in this movie.
Yeah, because they're all gorgeous.
That's true. Even Akbar. Until he passed.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Akbar.
Thanks
yeah.
for coming.
Off-screen death. But mm-hmm. I thought she was going to be like, I thought they were going to call her out on it. I thought the whole point of it was going to be she was in charge and she made a wrong decision. And in the end, she would go, I fucked up. I got us all killed. I'm going to stay behind. But they didn't. Instead, right. they still held her as a hero and like, oh, well, her plan all along was this. Oh, she's so clever.
And if that was her plan, then why not share it? She should have been like, all right, we need everybody to get away on these ships right now. Why? Don't ask questions.
They were afraid of a mole.
I thought they were, see, and that's what I thought is like, she was going to be the mole. Like, she was the reason they were tracking her.
Yeah.
Like, they were tracking them through Lightspeed.
Because it seems like they were setting that up. Like, oh, how can they track us?
Which I'm fine with they didn't. Like, I'm fine that, like, there wasn't an insider. Like, it was just, there's a piece of technology that allows them to do this thing. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. That's great. If she would have just told Poe, Finn and Rose would have never left the ship. They wouldn't have, and then the other part that I really hate about it though is there's cloaking. They will never see us. They show them from the dreadnought watching the ships leave. So yeah, their systems might not have tracked them. Just hope no
but
one looks out the window.
Physically see, yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
What I got from that, and I might be wrong, but what I got from that was that those ships were so small that because of the cloaking thing, they couldn't actually hit them with their weapons. Like
they very clearly did.
Well, that's because they found
He's
out.
He's force sensitive.
I mean, wasn't it because they found out about the cloaking and they, I don't know, maybe I missed the point.
Yeah, cause that's what I thought too, was like, yeah, they found out about the cloaking from DJ.
And maybe they uncloaked them?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. That's me
reaching. At least they got through the technology, because I mean, if he's able to crack it.
Then maybe like, he helped them.
Yeah, then
crack
they could
it.
Lock on and actually.
Maybe, but they don't explain it. Like the worst parts of this movie could have been fixed with a simple explanation in a lot of places.
And honestly, with the Poe stuff, in defense of her not telling him, she didn't have to.
Oh no, she like, absolutely did.
Well, that's why I think they should have called her on her bullshit in the end. They should have said, "You fucked up. You are the reason this is happening.
Well, really,
you
Poe,
are too arrogant."
It's more on Poe though, because
it's on both.
It's a whole lot on Poe.
Yeah.
Because had Poe just trusted his commanding officer and did what he was told, then everybody would have been fine. Or had she just decided, like, you know what, I'm going to calm him and I'll share this information. But I get that, you know, she needed to really enforce her authority, because she was a temporary authority figure. She was, like, they had already clearly made a point to mention that she was battle hardened. She was a veteran. She was famously great. Yeah, Poe knew who she was. She's like, oh my God, the famous admiral.
There's like 50 of them.
Whatever her name is. Yeah, seriously. But yeah, so she has, like, and you know, she's stepping into this role for Leia, this temporary leadership role. And you've got Hothead over here that just got demoted. Mm-hmm. Is up here questioning her authority.
That was so great too.
It was.
When he introduces himself as like captain, she's like, oh, isn't it corporal or whatever? Like, whatever.
Yeah, it was commander. Yeah. Commander, he's like, oh yeah, didn't you just get demoted to captain?
And totally deserved too, because they did take down a dreadnought, but like she said,
destroyed.
At what cost?
Yeah.
How many people died?
So many people.
They lost all their bombers.
Yep.
Which was also tied to Battlefront 2, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
But yeah, so you got this situation.
I only paid $12 to see the movie.
So in the DLC for Battlefront 2, they find the schematics for the dreadnought, and they're like, get this to somebody in the resistance.
Oh,
which
they're
is
like,
Poe.
Oh, here's this giant unkillable ship, but we found a weak point.
There was an exhaust pipe. It's really weird.
We gotta do a strafing around.
What's the name on the Orso? Why does that sound familiar?
So
that sounds
Acme.
So yeah, like that's my defense of her. She absolutely didn't have to, and she was expressing her authority. And had Poe just been cool about it, then everything would have been fine. So I she may have looked at that, especially like, you know, as she's about to kamikaze, she was probably like, yeah.
Fucking Poe.
God damn it, Poe. Why couldn't you have just done what I fucking told you to do?
What I really hate is that they introduced so many cool characters in this new trilogy to kill them off so quickly. Like, remember the original trilogy?
Oh, don't worry, we're gonna get a whole spin-off of Rose.
Fuck you.
That was so real. That was like, I think this might be the angriest
You broke me on that one. But like, Holdo was awesome. I would have loved to seen her more. DJ. I guarantee he won't be back. I think this is the one.
He's too slimy. I don't want him back.
But that's what you need. You need different characters like that. Remember the original trilogy? I can remember characters that were completely pointless that I liked. Nia Nub? Anybody remember Nia Nub?
Yeah, I know that name.
The pancake face guy? Yeah. He never died in the original trilogy. Lando Calrissian?
You know what little throwaway character I think should actually get like a pretty sizable chunk of story? Snoke.
I was hoping you were going to say the Porg.
I thought he was going to say Happy Rusev.
I'm being serious.
Because what happens is if you feed the Porg after midnight, it turns into this badass.
And then it picks up
a Wookiee.
But then it picks up a gun.
Oh, yeah. It starts shooting at people.
Is there one made out of electricity?
And a bat one.
I mean, I'm still convinced going back that Snoke is not dead.
I am too, because it seemed very unceremonious how he died.
We have precedent for someone getting cut in half, falling down a shaft.
Darth Maul.
And living. Fair.
Came back with
it
cyber
feels
legs.
Like we're going to get the shaft if that happens again.
You have to have Snoke come back. Watch that. Okay. So this is a little bit of a spoiler, I guess, for people that haven't watched that cartoon. But yeah, that's canon. Like, they've said that the Clone Wars cartoon and the Rebel cartoon are canon.
Those are the only non-movies that stayed canon.
Yes.
And Battlefront now is canon.
Yeah. And Darth Maul lived.
Yeah.
And he had, if those were like some of the best arcs in that cartoon, were the Darth Maul arcs.
It also gave us that great college humor skit where they're at the anime con. And he goes, okay, Darth Maul, at the little questionnaire. And he gets up, he goes, actually, I'm Darth Maul with like cybernetic legs. And the guy goes, oh, that's such a terrible idea. Why would you do that? And he goes, no, that's canon. This is real.
Yeah, he does get real legs. Well, I say real legs. He gets actual legs later as opposed to the spiny.
Whoa!
Yeah, well, because he has like the
people legs.
Yeah, he gets
people what? Legs.
From spider legs to people legs.
Yeah, exactly.
4-2.
Sergeant Dan, you got legs.
Was it Sergeant?
Lieutenant.
God damn it.
Dan.
No, he got promoted whenever he got the four legs.
Is it Lieutenant above
I don't know.
Sergeant?
Yes. All right, so before we wrap it up, I want to know, where do you rank this on your list of Star Wars movies? Jesse, we'll start with you.
Why start with me?
Asa, shit. Dalton, start with you.
Oh, they're above the prequels.
Between 1 through 8. Like,
so are we, so we're not doing Rogue One, right?
No, so just on the main
movies.
Trilogies.
Yep.
With, and I'm just like, bottom to last, where do you put it in between whatever? Like, just where's your ranking for it?
I love the original trilogy more and I loved Force Awakens more, so I'm gonna put it.
I really feel like in order to do this, we have to give like our actual
ranking
because it will be different for each of us.
Okay. Go full ranking.
I can't do that.
I got mine ready to go because I actually did. I think I did this on Twitter the other day.
I believe you. All right, Dalton, full ranking.
You got time. Think, Mandy.
So I'm starting from bottom to top.
I'm in the same boat as her. I'm like, I can't do this right now.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I believe in you. Go, Dalton. I'm trying to get them shut up.
Episode 6, episode 4, episode. Oh shit, I'm doing it wrong. No, I am. Oh no, 6, 4, 5. Force Awakens.
7.
So 7. Episode 8, and then 3, 2, 1.
Wow, you put Return and 4 above Empire? That's a bold move.
That's a hot take.
Yeah.
That's a legitimate hot take.
Yeah, no, I love
it. And I'm not gonna down your
opinion. No, I love Return of the Jedi is my favorite Star Wars movie.
Which, I mean, that's the way it goes. Like, Return is as polarizing as this movie is right now, like, yeah, we have a platform where we can broadcast this to thousands of people, like whoever wants to listen to this. Like, this was the fight after people left Return.
The argument?
Yeah.
Return also had some of my favorite moments of all time. Luke with the green lightsaber and the black outfit is iconic. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
that's awesome.
That was whenever because up until I was probably like, I don't know, in my early 20s, before I actually liked Empire more than Return, like, my list would have been identical to Dalton's had I not had that, like, just on one of my watch throughs, I was like, man.
The Force Awoken.
Empire's just.
It's so good.
It's so good. And I don't know if it's because I just started liking bad guys more or what, but Lindsay, hit your list.
No.
All right.
Lindsay, where do you rank it just in general?
Well, to be fair, I've only watched Force Awakens once because you didn't wait for me to rewatch it before the movie. And I missed part of it because I had to go to the bathroom, remember?
Yeah, that's your fault. And that's Allie's fault because at this new one, I believe you and Allie went to the bathroom each like 3 times.
No, I didn't get up.
I know she did.
That was Justice League. I didn't move during Star Wars.
She missed one of the most important parts of Justice League too. And she came back and I was like, ugh. I'm not even going to explain it to her.
I'm sorry that I have a bladder that's not cooperating lately.
So you can't rank this movie?
I mean, I would say it's probably in the 4 or 5 range. But until I can actually sit down and think about
the
different... Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Mandy?
Well, I don't remember specifics because really I've only seen, like, the first 6 once. Like, 5 years ago?
Yeah, about to say, it was not long ago, the first time she saw Star Wars.
I didn't grow up on it or anything, so... Jeez. But I liked all the ones with Han. So
that's
like
all
5,
of them except this one.
5.
The original trilogy and Force Awakens.
Isn't it only the 3 or is he in all 6?
No, he's not. He's not
the
prequels.
The original trilogy.
Yeah, okay, so.
Yeah, you were
which
right.
Is
yeah.
4, 5, and 6, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I like those. I don't know what order because I don't remember what's in what.
Well, here, let me break
but
it down
no,
for you.
No, it's fine because I don't have a lot of time and shit. It's fine. So just.
But I had a joke.
Well, fuck your jokes. Sorry.
What? I'm getting that tattooed on me. Fuck you, Judge Mandy Kennedy.
4 through 6 in some order, and then 7, and then I guess this one, because I like Poe, and I don't remember a lot of the prequels, but I remember Jar Jar Binks was annoying as fuck. So
that's the main takeaway. That's the main takeaway.
Yeah.
You were the worst Star Wars fan.
So.
You're just bad.
You can't be a bad Star Wars fan.
It's okay.
It's right here.
I've employees that still haven't watched any of them.
At least I fucking tried to rank them.
I'm gonna rank them.
And I know
oh, wait, are you taking a shot at her?
Yeah.
That's
why. Why? Every Thursday.
I don't care. I'll take a shot.
Because it's not a Thursday. Because
the queen, and I don't know.
I was gonna say the queen.
Well, I mean, I could be that person that's like, yeah, originals, that's it. Don't really care about the rest.
I like the
prequels. There you go.
Jesse, you.
You're just gonna skip Asa?
I was gonna save me and Asa for last, but we'll go. Because I think,
Because
I feel like Asa's, I feel like Asa's might be a little, like, controversial, maybe?
No,
I don't know. What? Okay, Asa, what's
it
yours?
It very much, I mean, I doubt it will. Empire, A New Hope, Return, and then a pretty significant drop off. because I mean, it just is like no other of the main Star Wars movies has measured up to the original trilogy. Like I love those three movies. Everything else is just like you're trying, and you get points for that. Probably go. It's been too long since I've seen the prequels, so I'm gonna put Force Awakens, then this one, and then 3, 2, 1.
Jesse.
That's a fairly, like, that's actually extremely close to my list. Empire, A New Hope, The Force Awakens, Return of the Jedi is probably tied with The Last Jedi. Like, I can't decide which one of those two I like more. And then 3, 2, 1.
Mine.
Return of the Last Jedi.
That's the next movie. Mark Hamill comes back. Mine would go. I'm going to say Empire because, again, I've just been programmed to say Empire, but I'll just stick with it because Empire was really good.
This isn't something that's like set in stone for me.
They change occasionally.
Like if I were to watch like all three tomorrow and then we had this debate and like Dalton tried to sway me to why Return should be the best one. There's a solid chance my opinion can change. Like those top three are not like.
I mean, for me, it goes back and forth on Empire and Return because I loved Return as a kid, and as I've gotten older, I appreciate Empire more.
But I
still love Return
because I'm not a huge fan of the Ewoks. I don't like. I'm pretty middle ground.
I like
on
Jabba's
those.
Palace. That's the Jabba's part palace that I get cool. in there.
Jabba himself was awesome.
But I love
Salacious
that battle.
Chrome.
I love oh, that yeah. battle. Like yeah. the speeders going through the forest. Like
I mean, as a kid, I would watch
yeah.
just that part and then turn it off sometimes.
Yeah, I loved that battle.
My personal ranking would I'll just put Empire top just because Empire. Then probably episode 3 because I really loved episode 3. The thing I love most about episode 3 was Anakin himself. I watched the Cinemassacre, who does Angry Video Game Nerd, but it's his like legit channel where he's not being a character, and he was ranking them and talking about them, and he mentioned that Anakin in episode 3 looked amazing, like Hayden Christensen, his look, the hair, the robe, and the eyes, like he looked fucking badass, and he did. So his performance as Anakin Skywalker kind of made 3 for me. Plus, fucking Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan.
Uh-huh.
When he was hitting that Alec Guinness stride too.
Yeah.
It's just really good. So, Empire Strikes Back, episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. Dahl's getting hard over there just thinking about this. I can see it. It's poking out. then episode 4. Then I'd probably do Last Jedi, then Force Awakens, then 2, then 1. Although Attack of the Clones might go above Force Awakens for me. I don't know.
Wow.
Mine's varied.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I think it's just because you have the highest opinion of the prequels of pretty much anybody.
I do, because
ever.
Anakin Skywalker is like my favorite Star Wars character. Like, I know the first movie was shitty, and I know the second one was stiff, but his ascension into, like, Jedihood and then his fall as Darth Vader, like, I think that's what Star Wars is about. Like, even the new movies, it's still the Darth Vader legacy. The whole reason Kylo Ren does what he does is because of his desire to be as strong as Darth Vader. Like, it will always be, the Star Wars saga will always be the Anakin Skywalker saga to me.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's why I still like the viewing order. You know, you watch 4, 5, then you hit 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
And then you watch 6, because you get 4 and 5 that sets up that Darth Vader is Anakin Skywalker that you've heard about. And then you get the entire story of Anakin. So you have 3 movies to start to really hate him.
Okay. But here's the part that I'm curious about. Like, where do you put Rogue One now into that? Because you can't put it before episode 4. Can
yes, you? Can.
Yeah.
Would you start with Rogue One, then do Episode Four?
Yeah, there's no reason not to. In that viewing order, because that sets up, you know, how they got the plans and everything else for, you know, that line in Episode Four. Otherwise, yeah, no, I don't like, yeah, you don't have to do it as a prequel, but yeah, you could do like four, then Rogue One, then five if you wanted to, but
because you can't do four. I don't think you could do four before Rogue One, because Rogue One's entire existence is just set up
and
four.
It leads directly into it.
Yeah, and it's not like it talks about, you know, a lot of the stuff with the Jedi. You get like the Jedi are gone.
You get the single greatest Star Wars moment ever, in my opinion.
Oh, the
I'm
forces
one with the force and the forces with me.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But fucking Darth Vader at the
Darth
end.
Vader just
man.
When you see the dark room and you just hear the breathing and they all stop and turn.
Because they know.
It turns into a horror movie for about 3 minutes.
And honestly, like, I think that scene alone really helps, like, with that, you know, four and five, setting up why everybody is terrified of Lord Vader.
Because he, as cool as Vader was in the original trilogy,
he
doesn't do much. And he's not as imposing as he is in, like, clearly Hayden Christensen was not imposing as Vader. His part at the end where he does the no thing, I hate that too. That's corny and stupid.
I mean, that was still James Earl Jones.
It was, but like,
but it was still bad.
It was bad.
Yeah, no, it was awful. I'm just wanting to say, like, don't put that, like, Hayden Christensen has enough bad on his plate already. He doesn't need that with it.
That was the only part where Vader was like legitimately terrifying, because he was powerful. I mean, he fucking force chokes people.
Yeah.
But that was scary.
Yeah.
That was the part where even I was like, oh, I won't be him. I won't be him no more.
No, and like I said, I think that actually makes for a great modified viewing. Start with Rogue One, hit four and five, one, two, three, six, and then of course seven and eight.
Do you share this opinion? That part with Vader was the only part where the Sith were ever legitimately scary. Because like, Emperor was powerful, Maul was cool, Kylo Ren's cool, even though he's not a Sith. Snoke is a fucking joke. Snoke the joke. Coined that right now.
Snoke was really scary until he was cut in two pieces.
When he was the projection and he looked like he was a giant.
Yeah, like,
I just thought he looked weird.
Which
he did. I didn't
big,
like Snoke's like, look. Like, I did not like him.
I can see
like, why is this Gollum?
And I wanted to know, like,
because it was Andy Serkis.
Are these scars? Like, are those battle scars?
Or is that what he
How'd
looks
you get
like?
Those? Or is, yeah, what
is,
kind
is
of race
he,
are you?
Dear David, is that what you've been following? Because he looks like that.
But like, even Snoke was like jokey scary. Like, you know, I'm going to toy with you.
See, but that's the
Vader
thing.
Didn't fuck with anybody in that scene.
That's why I love, that's why I like Snoke, is because, like, now that we actually got some character from him, the dude was charismatic. He was a prick. I'm on board. I didn't like Snoke in Force Awakens because it's like, oh, it's an Emperor knockoff.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing more to him other than, oh, he is the mysterious cloaked figure who's in charge of the Empire. This one, he actually has, like,
personality.
He has personality, and it's like, okay, give me. And right about the time that I was like, okay, I love Snoke. He dies, and I hate it. They did so many things that were so cool and so like just awesome, and then they just somehow this is all just like my personal opinion, but like I can't look past just some of the glaring plot holes and just terrible storytelling decisions.
You want to know an amazing origin story that I didn't realize until I watched that video from AV Cinemasquare? The prequels were as much the Emperor's story as they were Anakin's, and Ian McDiarmid as Palpatine going into the Emperor was amazing. And the fact that it was the same actor from the original trilogy was just so cool.
Because that was one of the things that we learned when we went to Indiana Comic Con.
I was actually about to say, yeah, we got to see him and Ray Park.
You saw Ian McDiarmid?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they were at ICC the first year we went.
And I genuinely had no idea it was the same actor.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I assumed the Emperor was like Alec Guinness.
Was an older man.
And it was just like some like 90-year-old dude who they just threw a cloak on him and like, okay, now do this with your hands. And he did, but it was like, oh no, so you were like, what? 40, 30 doing those movies?
Yeah, he was in his 20s, I thought, like whenever he was doing those movies. But since they put so much makeup and everything else on it didn't matter.
Yeah, because he looked old and creepy.
Yeah.
And I think I said that was the only time they were scary. I take that back. Also, the part where he was like laying back and Mace Windu was going to kill him and he was kind of faking that he wasn't strong enough.
He was scary,
But then the moment he like...
He saw his opening.
Yeah. Oh, that was pretty scary too.
Also, you know, him just like hacking apart like three of the most badass Jedi ever. Like Kit Fisto... He's supposed to be one of like the most incredible. Like he's supposed to be the best duelist in the galaxy.
Plus that fucking name, Kit Fisto. There's a whole bunch of Jedi that are so cool. Kit Fisto, Plo Koon.
I love Plo Koon.
Anyway.
But yeah, no, yeah, he just straight up like murders three of them right off the bat by himself.
And that shows you why he was so fucking powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what we did? We didn't get that with Snoke, but then also they didn't do that in the original trilogy, but also, okay, we gotta get out of here. That's all the time we got for tonight. Yep. We're an hour and a half. This is the longest episode of PZ85 After Dark ever.
It's Star Wars. It just keeps going.
Next week's Star Wars episode will be
PZ85 Return of the Dark.
Return of the Dark.
That's pretty dope. I like it.
Damn, JR.
Or The Dark Strikes Back.
So, The Dark Strikes Back.
No! We can't do that one. Never mind. Scratch that. I hear it now.
Have a good night, everybody, and
Merry Christmas.
No, I was going to use the line from the movie. Live long and prosper.
Happy